Even though I support Trump signing this memorandum of understanding, which is a pathway toward peace, I also have to be realistic in saying that the dollar dies a little bit more from here forward. And Vladimir Putin just said, he was at a meeting of the Asian nations, and he just said, we have to double down and emphasize currency settlements in our own national currencies. We cannot rely on the dollar. The dollar, you know, has been weaponized, obviously. Even Trump admitted it. He's like, we took this money from Iran. It's their money. We froze it, and we got to give it back. And if we don't give it back, nobody's going to use the dollar. Trump just said that. I mean, I'm paraphrasing it, but that's pretty close to word for word what he just said. It shouldn't be even very difficult to find that quote. And he's right. He's right. The dollar is no longer trusted by the nations of the world because the U.S. can't be trusted. The U.S. will weaponize everything. And that worked for a long time until recently because the U.S. could legitimately threaten everybody with its navy and its military and its bombings and missiles and everything else. Well, guess what? Those days are now over as well. Now, I mean, the U.S. military is still a formidable force. Don't get me wrong. It can still do a lot of damage to certain countries. But what we just saw is that the U.S. military cannot defeat Iran. Even after the U.S., as Trump said repeatedly, completely destroyed Iran's air force, completely destroyed Iran's navy, completely destroyed Iran's, or mostly destroyed its missile launching capability, etc., etc. Even Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent bragged about how we use economic terrorism to try to destroy Iran's currency, played games with the central banks and attacked their currency, tried to cause an economic collapse, tried to cause a revolution in the streets. I mean, on and on. The CIA was involved, the banks were involved, the military was involved. All of these efforts failed. They failed miserably. And what does that show? What does it prove? That the U.S. military no longer can credibly exert its will just by choice upon other nations of the world. Iran stood up against the tyranny of the American Empire. And at the end of the day, Trump surrendered to Iran. Not the other way around. Trump surrendered to Iran. Signing that memorandum, the 14 points there, if you read the 14 points, they are all pro-Iran points. They give Iran everything that it asks for, everything that it needs in order to be basically a regional power, if not a world power in a multipolar world. So the argument is done. Everybody who was saying in the early days, oh, the U.S. military is going to completely obliterate Iran. Even Trump, of course, was on that train for a long time. We've destroyed them. We've beaten them. He said it like 45 times that they're defeated. They're done. They have to surrender. He demanded their unconditional surrender. But at the end of the day, what actually happened? The U.S. military failed. So now the dollar, remember that the power of the dollar only can exist because of the power of the U.S. military to project the threat of violence against other countries. That's the only reason the dollar is even used as a currency. If it wasn't for the military threatening to bomb everybody, nobody would be using the dollar because the dollar keeps losing value. The dollar is weaponized. You can have sanctions placed upon you, and, you know, dozens of countries have sanctions placed upon them. On and on and on. The dollar is the worst currency in the world to use, except for every other currency at the moment. But that's about to change. So the upshot of this, of Trump foolishly getting us into this war and now wisely attempting to extricate us from this war, but still losing the war, the upshot is that all over the world, countries are looking at the United States of America and saying, well, they can't even defend their currency. They can't even force other countries to use their currency. They couldn't defeat Russia via Ukraine. They can't defeat Iran via Israel or even just directly. They can't beat China. They can't protect Taiwan from China, period. Okay? That's also obvious at this point. China's laughing. It's like, my God. China's just thinking, you know, Taiwan is ours now. It's a done deal. The U.S. military is completely incapable of defending Taiwan. And I'm not saying that China is going to, you know, attack Taiwan or invade Taiwan. They don't need to. Even Taiwan is realizing that partnering with the United States is a bad choice. Even Taiwan, especially among the younger generations there. Remember, I lived in Taiwan. I have pretty good information about what's happening there. The younger generation, they increasingly recognize that they need to partner with mainland China. They need to rejoin under certain conditions in order to leverage the economic reach of China. The U.S. can't provide Taiwan with reliable energy. Taiwan's manufacturing needs access to rare earth minerals that the U.S. can't provide. Taiwan's security would be far better secured by China, which is right there, right next to them, versus the United States of America, which just proved it can't even defeat Iran. It can't even protect a single waterway known as the Strait of Hormuz. I mean, think about that. You know? Think about what that means. What's interesting is that before this war with Iran, the world looked upon the U.S. military as formidable. Don't mess with the U.S. military. Don't mess with Trump. When Trump threatens you, you better give in. And that's why countries were giving in to Trump's demands. Oh, you have to invest in our country. You have to swallow these tariffs. You have to do this and that. Now, after the U.S. has lost the war with Iran, Trump's threats no longer have the same weight, do they? The world is now looking at the U.S. as a country that just got defeated. And throughout history, the country that got defeated pays reparations to the victor. Well, who's getting the reparations here? It's Iran, not the United States. Iran is getting the reparations. $300 billion, apparently. Now, I know that's not coming from the U.S., according to Trump. It's coming from Gulf state nations. But yeah, they are paying reparations to Iran because Iran won. That's part of the definition of winning, is you get the loser to pay you back for the costs of the war. The U.S. is unfreezing tens of billions of dollars in funds that the U.S. essentially stole from Iran, freeing those up and handing them back to Iran. That's happening right now because the U.S. lost. And Iran won, and it's abundantly clear. So from here forward, the world looks at the U.S. and says, well, they really can't make good on their threats. So the next time Trump runs around and threatens some country, those countries are a lot less likely to be instantly intimidated. Now, granted, Iran had a unique geography, really a unique position in the world, having control over the Strait of Hormuz, via which Iran could threaten, you know, credibly carry out a chokehold of the world's energy supply. And that's the key reason why Iran was able to win. But it also showed the world that the U.S. Navy couldn't control that waterway, and that the U.S. Army couldn't conquer Iran, and that the U.S. Air Force couldn't bomb their way to victory. And they even tried that rescue mission to go in there and get the nuclear material. And that was a total cluster bleep. And so, you know, the Western press had to make up a story that there was a lost pilot. We had to go rescue the pilot. So it was a heroic rescue. Nonsense. It was a failed mission to try to steal the uranium. Completely failed. And who knows how many U.S. military personnel were killed in that process. That was completely covered up, of course. We were told they died in training missions or whatever. The truth is that the U.S. military came off looking ridiculously weak, incompetent even, Hegseth will be fired. Hegseth will be one of many scapegoats out of this. And the sooner he gets fired, the sooner that you should clear out of local bars, because he's going to be raiding the kegs, because that's his name, Kegs Breath. That guy is going to go down in a drunken stupor. He will go down in history as the worst Secretary of War ever. The only war he ever fought was the war that he decisively lost. And there's even a meme going around where other countries are begging Trump to attack them so they can get $300 billion in reparations too. It's, you know, what a catastrophe. Think about all of the needless deaths and suffering and cost, how much money went into all the fuel and all the bombs and all the personnel to accomplish what? Oh, turning over the Strait of Hormuz to Iran. To accomplish nothing for America, nothing. We would have been better off to have no war, should have told Netanyahu to go pound sand from day one, which is what I said and what many of us said across independent media. So from here, hopefully Trump will learn his lesson, but the future has changed now for America. The dollar is no longer the dominant currency. I mean, not in the minds of the people. It still has, of course, very broad circulation. U.S. dollar denominated debt. Treasuries are still the most liquid form of debt in the world, but that's going to change. And this is the pivot point that will accelerate that change dramatically. I'm going to be interviewing Andy Schechtman coming up pretty soon. I'll ask him his thoughts about this and about what Putin just said about settlements in national currencies, etc. But losing this war it will mean losing the dominance of the dollar. Have no illusions. That's what this means. And that means that life is going to become much more difficult for the American people, because we won't be able to just print currency and just export inflation to the rest of the world as easily. The rest of the world doesn't want those dollars as much. And before long, they won't want them at all. So in other words, by Trump initially selling out America for the interests of the bloodthirsty Zionists, he has condemned the American people to generations of despair and financial poverty and destitution. That's the gravity of the mistake that Trump made. It is possibly the most foolish mistake, especially a wartime mistake, that any president ever made in history of the United States, that is. The most foolish of all. This will go down in history as a pivotal defeat of not just the United States military, but the United States of America and its currency. That's what Trump has already cemented for himself in terms of history. Now, can he partially redeem himself? Can he admit this mistake and try to walk it back and try to recover from it? Yes, that's what he seems to be doing at the moment. But you can't erase the catastrophe that has already occurred. And make no mistake, it is a catastrophe. And there's nothing that Trump can do to rewind and undo this. The damage is done, and it will reverberate throughout history for decades to come. So stay tuned, folks. Stay tuned and be prepared. Check out my site, rangerdeals.com, for a lot of preparedness affiliates that I advocate. I advocate for their products and solutions. We earn a little percentage on some of them, not all of them, some of them. But check them out at rangerdeals.com. And also you can find more of my podcasts and interviews at brightvideos.com and my articles at naturalnews.com. Thank you for listening. Take care.
Stock up on the long-term storable Ranger Bucket Set. 536 servings of clean organic superfoods for your survival pantry. Certified organic and lab tested for purity. Order now at healthrangerstore.com.